Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Oh my goodness!
Hey everybody, it's Carter Mann, and you have just jumped inside the pull bag.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, Superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Welcome to The Pullback. This is episode 523, and I'm, of course, Steve Jordan Mike. Joining me once, sort of, almost as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
That's good. That's good. Yes, folks, we're going to be going down the Defiant hole one more time. Not one more time, but continuing on our trek into being Defiant. With Star Trek, we have Defiant numbers 2 and 3 tonight on the schedule, and Lore is the cover for issue, main cover for issue 2. Or I should say his head is the main cover for issue 2.
On a steak.
Yes, on a steak. That's right. And, so we got Star Trek Defiant issues 2 and 3. Like I said, writer is Christopher Cantwell. Artist is Angel Unzueta. Again, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. Colorist is Marissa Louise. And the letter was done by Clayton Cowles. Neil Yukitai was the design and production. Senior editor is Heather Antos. And we start with Worf. Supplemental captain's log. It's a good thing you don't have to use star dates for those things.
Well, they do sometimes.
Just they do sometimes.
As often.
Yeah. No, that's okay. What were you thinking before we get too far into this? But after you read this second issue, what were you thinking? Because between this issue and the next one, I'm like, wait, what? That was my reaction reading these two issues. I was like, oh, man, I think my head just exploded.
Yeah, there was a lot that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of it predictable, some of it not. A lot of it not.
So what are your predictable points for issue 2?
Well, just the thoughts of how Worf and Spock kind of work. Mm-hmm. However, how they interact is slightly different.
Yeah.
But no, I liked how they worked together. You had, you know, basically first officers of Enterprise in various capacities.
Mm-hmm.
Of an Enterprise. And then you have, even though Worf wasn't quite there yet here, but I don't know. I liked how they interacted together, how they worked together. And then Spock is being logical on how to use lore to their
advantage.
And Worf is like, you can't trust that. You cannot trust that villainous android. And then I thought it was funny how they broke in.
Yep.
Real lore. Like with the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And they take all of his body parts and then they energize him out of there and then they escape. And it's from the secret Starfleet intelligence facility.
Yeah,
so they technically 31. Couldn't.
Yeah.
Even if they got caught, there's not much they could do about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not supposed to exist.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, though, how Lore, with the emotion chip gone, he's like, I can think clearly.
Exactly.
But what's funny about it is he was programmed differently. And this is an actual misstep on their behalf. He didn't have the emotion chip until like after he killed Dr. Soong to get it. And what's even funnier about it is he had emotion before that. He was charged. The difference between him and Data was he was malicious and could harm people.
Right.
And he could do contractions. Whereas Data could say, you know, instead of saying I can't, he would say I cannot.
I cannot.
Okay, you know, and Laura would go, I can't.
Yeah.
And so that was like the tell of, you know, who was who. And they're using the emotion chip as the reason that he's feeling rational. But I mean, I'll overlook it in this situation just because it's interesting how they're bringing in Data's brother since Data's with Sisko.
Yep.
And Laura is now the necessary evil here.
Yeah. I think looking back through this issue, my favorite design is when Spock and Worf are preparing to sneak into Section 31. And they basically dress up like ninjas. And I'm like, okay, I want a separate series, Spock and Worf as ninjas, please. Because, damn, that cloak looks good on Worf. I know that's such a stupid, silly thing, but Worf basically, you know, high-flying kick to the guy here, and I'm like, I already knew Worf was a badass. Putting him in ninja clothing makes him an even bigger badass. And again, like you were saying, how they're working together and how whatever, where the part of the whole conversation between the two of them is you can't use fate. You can't, not even on stun. You can't. And Spock is like, 3 years imprisonment. I did not fire my phaser. The sentence term is the same for physical assault. Oh, Spock, you and your logic. I love Spock and Worf as a team. I didn't know what to expect from the two of them together, but man, this really works.
Their whole interaction is interesting just because Spock is using the cowboy diplomacy. And Worf has always been shoot first, ask questions later.
Yep. And as they're absconding from the ship or from Section 31 again, literally, and I know these are two, and I'm mixing my genres here, folks. I do that a lot, but it's only because recently in the last couple of weeks we did our first full G.I. Joe review on the show. We did G.I. Joe World on Fire with myself and Eduardo. As they're running away from Section 31 or making their escape, and you see Worf and Spock, and I'm like, holy crap, it's Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. It really isn't Storm Shadow because it's two people dressed in black instead of one white, one black. But literally, I'm like, yeah, Worf and Spock could be G.I. Joe characters right now.
But suffice it to say, it's rather interesting how it kind of plays out.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. Again, this is what I said in issue one, where, you know, they go back and they get him, you know, get him his arm and his, the only thing it'll cost you is an arm and a leg. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, the humor. So Lord decides to help them. We get the all-important level 5 communique, Orion Pirate Activity Report, which, again, I'm sorry. I check out. I don't know why, but, like, I check out when these pages come up. I probably shouldn't, because it probably has, you know, really, you know, pertinent information, but I just do. I don't think the Elcars, other than like a beginning, like in the middle of the book, I don't think it works for me.
I don't mind it, but yeah, I mean, I get it.
So let's see. They're flying through space. Why are they flying through? Well, of course they're flying through space.
They're going to meet with the Orions.
Oh, right. The pirates. Yeah.
The pirates.
Yar, space pirates. Yar. Again, the art is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely love this. And I love as they're going through the stuff here. Everybody's like, pull back, pull back. No, the only way out is through. Ro, find a hole. She finds a hole, all right. We're on the other side of the blockade somehow, and there's the Scarab. What do you think of the ship design for the Scarab?
I don't like it.
Okay.
It's just too much red, for one. And then two, it's... I don't know. It looks like some kind of a really bad pterodactyl.
I was thinking it looks like a really, really poor version of an Aerosmith cover. But yeah, that's about
the same. And then the Orion there kind of reminds me of like some bad DC Comics hero.
Yep. Well, Orion was Darkseid's son, so yeah, it is what it is, I guess. So they leave Ro to do everything because, again, this whole super secret mission, and they can't be found out and all of this, but they're secretly giving her, Worf is secretly giving her instructions on certain things to do, like fire this or fire that, and... They are ignoring the hail from the ship here, and then they finally answer it, and it's like, oh, little green men in space. Now, who are these? Oh, these are the pirates. That's right. Thoughts on the pirates?
I don't really care for them. I've never been a fan of the Orions.
Okay.
Especially in this. Based on the fact that, one, they have the hair, but two, these weird, funky costumes.
Yeah, those costumes are a little out there, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you need Starfleet to have some sort of uniform, and I like how you get the shot here of Spock and Worf and... Bellari or Belisi or whatever her name is, like how each of their uniforms is different to them, but then you get the Orions and it's like, who dressed you today? Did you really put on your own clothes? What do you think of the transporter, the Energize effects?
I mean, it looks pretty standard.
Yeah. I mean, I just like how it's, I like the transition of colors, because you have the color of the Defiance transporter room versus the color of the enemy ship or whatever, and I like that quick change between the panels. Yeah, these little green men are ugly. Just, yeah, I don't know. And so they... get to the ship, and then they're basically like, yeah, so you're gonna, you know, surrender, right? And oh, so they also, they're bringing with them trilithium, and it's supposed to be true trilithium, but they're gonna fool them, or they're supposed to be fooling them with it. And yeah, I do love how it ends, where Ro's like, mm-hmm. Play it by ear, huh? Well, I'll tell you, Worf, right now I can't hear a damn thing.
I think it's funny how they get captured and then...
Yep.
And then I love the cover for the next issue.
Yeah, the Spock in the captain's chair. Yeah, so issue two, I really dug it again. I started to kind of sort of get lost, but then I found myself again with the story. And again, what I like most about this is we essentially have two characters that in the history of the franchise probably have never, like Spock and Worf, I don't think they ever did anything together in the past, right? Like outside of this.
Yeah, they've never met.
Yeah, they've never met because obviously two very different generations.
That's now, Worf's grandfather, Colonel Worf, represented Kirk and McCoy at their their tribunal in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Right, but that's not Lieutenant Commander Worf of the USS Enterprise D, correct?
That's his grandfather.
That's his grandfather. There is that
familial connection there.
Right, yeah, but like the Worf we know and love, voiced by Michael Dorn, had never interacted with Spock, obviously Leonard Nimoy. May the man rest in peace. But yeah, so second issue, final thoughts before we get to issue three?
I don't know. I liked where it was kind of heading.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah, I mean, again, we have a little bit more setup in issue two, but it's also gearing more towards the action side of it and all of that. In issue three, now, originally, again, because I'm half blind most of the time, I didn't remember that this was Spock. I kept thinking, for some odd reason, my eyes were like, why does Picard have a weird comb-over? Every time I saw this cover, I was like, wait, what? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I didn't get that vibe at all.
So we start off in issue three, where we left off in issue two, with them being captured by the pirates. And yeah... Then we have Spock being the commander.
Yep.
So I guess we mentioned this in the last episode in issue one. We should probably discuss it here. You did this whole history lesson on the cloaking of the Defiant and how you didn't think that this one should have a cloak since blah, blah, blah.
It didn't. It was destroyed in the other version.
But yet... Spock is saying, we are cloaked, stay in transporter range.
Yeah, this ship technically doesn't have one anymore, because this is the second ship.
Well, in this universe it does, but it works for them in this universe, I think. I don't think it really matters, like we were trying to figure out in the first issue, like, what's the continuity, what's this, what's that? I could be wrong, usually I am wrong. But I think they're just creating their own continuity. I don't think they're trying to really push this into specifics of what's already happened in
Star Trek. If it's 2 years after Sisko disappeared and he's come back, this would be the second Defiant.
Okay.
So there wouldn't be a cloak, but hindsight.
Yes, hindsight. So Spock is trying to reach Worf on the ship. And I love Spock. Him and his logic. And, you know, we talk about how fire... Wait a minute, is he doing all of this at once? There's nobody else on the ship.
Well, he is Spock. I mean...
I know he's Spock, but... You usually have to have some sort of Scotty or Geordi or whatever. Like, you have to have some sort of crew. Like, the crew that they have, I know it's a small crew, but they didn't leave anybody behind with Spock. And he's, like, this whole giant panel here.
Well, the thing about the Defiant is you don't need a lot of people to run it.
Okay.
However... That's still a lot of stuff for one dude.
Yeah.
So I do get it, but he's of the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that case, he's going to be a little bit faster, even for an old guy.
Yeah. It's not the fact that he's old that This is more of a question of more of disbelief than anything else, I guess. I mean, I know Spock's a super genius and everything, but I didn't really realize like he could basically run the whole ship. Okay. It's a cool panel. I mean, you see him darting from here to there to the, like, he enters the engineering room or whatever this is, and he's like, I'm gonna go here, here, and here, and do this, and do that, and do this, and but with the warp core already experiencing polarity fluctuations, top speed. Yeah, I am so disinterested in these pirates.
I'll be happy when, you know.
Yeah.
They're not dealing with them, which, you know, there's a battle between B'Elanna Torres and them and in row. And then, you know, Worf is pretty much down for the count until one of the Orions gives him Klingon adrenaline. And she says, it's the sacrament. Those Red Path creeps are all hopped up on the blood of Kalis or some shit. And she says, you're not giving him that. Relax. It's not some holy mystery. It's Klingon adrenaline. I still don't trust you, you know, and then they go back and forth, and then she pins down all the rest of them, you know, trust me now, fine, do it, gives it to him, and then Worf goes, and then just starts going like Banshee on him.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Worf is, you know, doing that, and Spock is making a team up of his own.
Yes, yes, he is. Which is really, really fun.
And then Spock goes in there. I will lay down some very important ground rules. You will do as I say. You will do only as I say. Right, no problem. How many minutes before the ship explodes again?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Spock sets him up, and then he says, see, Spock, now you've got a helping hand, and all it'll cost you is an arm and a leg.
Yep.
You know, trying to be sarcastic, and and then, you know, of course they all get back to the ship. Why aren't you on the bridge, Captain Worf? You're in severe need of need to get to the bridge. And Klingon adrenaline, more than usual, as it would seem, a buttload of it.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then the captain is about to discover something that will anger him even further. I wait. You, Captain, I'm so glad you survived. Welcome back, sir. And then, you know, he falls to the deck. Captain?
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm hoping they give Lore that redemption.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, they are kind of giving him that.
Yeah,
but it'll be interesting to see what they do with the character as we progress.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I'm very interested to see that. But man, it only took him 3 issues to kill Worf, supposedly kill him, but
they're not killing him.
They better not. This issue, whew, boy, between the pirates. And everything else, man. I can't say enough good things about the art. The art's amazing. The lines and the drawing and the way the characters are designed. The way light is used in this series, specifically on Spock, on various things, where sometimes he looks young, sometimes he looks old, sometimes he looks TOS, sometimes he looks Big Bang Theory. Like, it's just so fun. And like I mentioned earlier about Worf and Spock together, like, yeah, I could see Star Trek Ninja Academy, Captain Worf and Captain Spock. I could see them on some sort of ninja adventure somewhere in those black suits. That's hilariously cool. But again, good cliffhanger to, you know, have us keep coming back for more.
I know, and I was going, man, I want another one.
Uh-huh, yep. And then, so next cover for next issue. Oh, boy, Worf. Worf's looking pretty rough there.
Yep.
And then I love this this little ad
for the annual.
So we're gonna have to cover that at some point. I don't know when it's coming out, but I'll figure it out later. But
I'm kind of excited for it just because.
Yeah. It's Picard, it's Kirk, it's Sisko.
It's literally every Starfleet captain that we've gotten a TV show about.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Except it's funny because then we get Scotty, young Scotty, we get Tuvok and O'Brien in the background there.
Mm-hmm.
But we get Captain Pike, we get Jonathan Archer, we get Georgiou, we get Janeway. We get a different version of Pike, like in the background behind Georgiou.
Mm-hmm.
And we get Chris Pine Kirk and Shatner Kirk and Picard. So, and then we see different Enterprises showing up in the background. The 1701, and then we get the Chris Pine Kelvin Universe Enterprise, and then we get the Enterprise D back there. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I know that it's a holodeck recreation.
Yeah.
To kind of take them on an adventure, but
yeah,
I think it's to learn something from the captains of the Enterprise and some of these other ships that have had to undergo great personal difficulty.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said a second ago, I'm like, I don't know when this is coming, but I can't wait. And I'm like, you idiot, just scroll down. Star Trek Checklist, the explosive saga of Sisko's USS Theseus and Worf's hand-picked squad continues monthly in the pages of Star Trek and Star Trek Defiant, building to the epic 5-issue crossover.
Star Trek Day of Blood.
Day of Blood, yeah. So this month, in May, folks, we got the Free Comic Book Day prelude to Day of Blood, which I don't know how we're going to get our hands on that. I don't know if IDW is going to have it on the server at all because it's a Free Comic Book Day issue, whatever. Defiant number 3, which we just talked about. We've got to catch up on Star Trek. We've got to do 6, 7, and 8 now. And then the annual comes out at the end of May. In June, we have Defiant number 4 and Star Trek number 9. July is Defiant 5, Star Trek 10, and then Star Trek Volume 1, Godshock, collects Star Trek 1 through 6. For Day of Blood, we have number 1's coming out in July. In July, comics.
In July.
Defiant number 6, Star Trek 11, and then Star Trek Defiant number... Shouldn't that say number 12, not number 1? Huh, okay, well, whatever. But yeah, it's basically a summer of Star Trek, folks, for comics. So, very cool, very cool. I think we're going to go to a quick ad break and come back with final thoughts and ratings after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
The toys that are more than meets the eye. Transformers.
To He-Man. And the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to the Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marcum 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marcum 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, we are back here inside the pull bag. Star Trek Defiant issues number 2 and 3. Final thoughts from you, sir?
I enjoyed where this went, although not a whole lot happened.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing where they go from here.
Yeah. I'm glad we're doing these in 2, potentially 3, depending on when I get my hands on issue 8, because right now we do have 6 and 7, and that will be, well, that's the other series. That'll be the next episode for 6 and 7, but I love doing these, kind of like double-shotting them, where we can, you know, kind of look at 2, like, oh, man. Both the ends of these issues, Defiant 2 and Defiant 3, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not waiting every month for this, because I would be literally on the edge of my seat all of the time. Both of these cliffhangers at the end of these issues was like, holy crap, give me more now. So
they've done really well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, like I said in issue 1, holy crap, this is my Star Trek. At this point, I'm just using you. Like, Steve, I don't get this. Explain it. That's all. Yes, you matter. Your opinion matters. All that. But, like, for me, it's like, okay, I read it. Now explain to me why I like this.
Give me the continuity.
Exactly. Give me the history. But again, like I said, man, it just these 2 issues and then the first issue, like all of them so far, have been really, really interesting. And I can't wait to get back to the main series when we discuss issues 6 and 7, potentially 8. I don't know if 8 is out as of this recording, but we'll see what happens. With that, any other final thoughts you would like to say, sir?
No, I don't think so.
Alrighty then. You got me doing your ace bit. Oh, boy. So, thank you for joining us here inside the Pullback. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on Spotify and other podcatching clients you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network, @ThePullback for the show. I am @TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network. You can also check out The Pullback over there as well. As I mentioned, next time is Star Trek numbers 6 and 7. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Steve Megatron.
Thank you for listening. Join us next time and make your great escape into comics. I closed the document before I finished reading it. Damn it.
The end.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullback. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thepullback and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.